The Hair of the Dog Killed the Pain, song to Mickey Finn.
Song for Mickey Finn, called The Hair of the Dog.
Memory of him.
Killed the Pain.
My brother.
It's about the drink and stuff like that.
I remember the days when you first hit the scene. You were larger than life and you played like a dream.
I remember the days when you first hit the scene. You were larger than life and you played like a dream. Yeah.
You played just like a dream.
You played just like a dream.
And the people that came from near and far to witness your magic and to buy your jar.
And the people they came from near and far to witness your magic and to buy you a jar, yeah.
Come play as another one, you're gonna go far.
Come play as another one, you're gonna go far.
It was at a New Year's Eve party in the Oranmore Castle.
It was 76, I can recall the first. And
Alec Finn's. Leonie's home.
Incredible, this medieval castle and the big fire.
So I went out there and it's...
The whole setting was just...
The setting was absolutely fantastic. This beautiful castle and all the stone and...
incredible fire and not just...
Beautiful things they have in there.
Foods laden with... Or tables laden with food.
And big fireplace
and candles everywhere and
the whole big tree was burning in the fireplace. It was that big and
it was like a film, you know.
People were dressed up and put out on big huge tables and the wine was flowing and it was just
incredible.
Something like out of a dream, you know.
Remember those films, Tom Jones or whatever it was in those days? Or
wonderful food.
Romantic, everything. And
very kind of romantic kind of feel to the whole thing. And I had... I was very... And Ireland to me was, in those days...
Romantic.
Very romantic place.
Like a film, you know,
in those days.
And then I spotted Mickey there in the crowd.
Dancing.
He was off dancing. And he had this big hat.
And
hair was flying all over the place. And long beard flying all over the place.
He was very visual.
He had a
big leather hat. And his reddish long...
Flying.
Big long coat. Flowing around,
yeah,
and
it's such dancing. A picture.
It's just such a picture, you know.
Swirling around the place, dancing.
Beautiful. And I thought, wow. He was a great character. He was the character of Galway, you know.
And the beer, it flowed, the whiskey, it rained down all around you. And what do you do when the sun rises up in the morning? When your body, it shakes and the nerves, they quake in the morning. To the early house for another one. The hair of the dog will surely kill the pain. Please kill the pain. Please kill the pain. Kill the pain.
He was born in Kilkenny.
This week sees the third anniversary of the death of the fiddle player Mickey Finn, who passed away on the 15th of April 1987 at the tragically young age of 35.
Then he went to school in Callan.
Mickey was a very innovative, versatile and influential player whose interests went far beyond traditional music into the worlds of contemporary music and rock.
He was full of life.
But it was mainly with traditional music and musicians that he spent the 15 years of his adult playing life, which saw him based largely in the Galway area.
But then I got a bank house, 5 a month. So we reared the children. We were 14 years in Callan. Most beautiful town in Ireland. We did all sorts. I loved Callan. The boys, this was idyllic.
Among the music played was Miss Monaghan, and the ships are sailing.
And man was just rabbits and cats and dogs in the house. And it was an open house. I'm sure you were in there. I remember you, I think. Yeah. And she was...
Was it hard to leave Callan that time?
Well, it was terrible for the boys, especially. The boys, it was an awful wrench. 14 years, you know. And they were part of the scene. But, And you go up to the stony walls of the west of Ireland. I was never in the west of Ireland. And...
I still remember being devastated when he left.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We corresponded for ages. And
did you really? I didn't know that.
It filtered out.
Really?
But, I was devastated when he left. Yeah.
After school now, you used to meet and all that, didn't
you? Yeah, I
idolised him to an extent. I was only child, living in a fairly remote rural area.
We had adjoining desks as well, you know. So we were beside one another in the classroom as well.
Yeah. Mickey just seemed to me the epitome of everything. You know, the house was full of... And the house was in the town, tall, three stories, narrow, skinny house. It was almost like out of a kid's fairy story. Steep stairs.
And the giggling, the sniggering and the jokes. You were always in trouble.
He very rarely, I suppose, would have entered into my thinking as the years sort of passed by, apart from the coincidence of meeting him years ago in London. But I'd sometimes look up at the house, and I would remember him, and you would almost expect to see the white-headed kid, you know, with the pug nose sort of looking out the window at you.
So there you are, for sure. Beautiful boy. So that's I don't tell him.
The outside, probably getting everything ready to walk in the door. He had a hat on, a leather hat. Oh yeah, he was impressive, like Mickey Finn, the fiddler, like. That was him. Cellar Baron Galway. That was. Just, we used to go into town to see the Kings of Swerve, and they were the people at the top table there. That was. It was brilliant. That's what dragged in the people into Galway. A lot of people came in, and that's what started the whole. But then Mickey would walk in, stride in with the fiddle. Mickey had a lovely way of walking. He had an affected walk like that. He'd funny, cool, kind of a shoulders moving, kind of a forward. Head at an angle at 45 degrees nearly, or it looked like that. Big, big, big Afghan coat at one stage, you know, the big fur around the neck and fur down the middle where the buttons and big long coat. The hat, leather hat, that was one. He had a big long black coat another time, like, you know, a bit like John Lennon, you know, there's a picture of John and Yoko with Sean, he was like Sean Lennon, the barman. Sean was. He always had a bit of slagging out, Sean. Down with the pint, Sean, pint, you know. And he'd make you sit down, open the fiddle case, rosin the bow and all this, and ready, you know. Terry would be there, and the session would start up then, whatever.
So he would go to the Orley House in the morning for the cure, and as he was getting cured, he would... I know he loved Sadie a lot. He loved me. He and he was starting to feel good with the drink inside him.
I know a bit about drink as well, so I can see it from his side, my side, and just the way it goes, like general, how drink can. You can be up. You can be. It gets harder and harder, like to keep up to keep it going, but. As a lot of people, even reformed alcoholics, they will say they wouldn't kind of undo it in a way. They did enjoy some of the good days. You know, heaven was heaven, and just great crack and flag holes and the whole works like that.
In those days,
it was great times. Like, but there reaches a time when you go over the hill, the crest, and you go back down into the trough.
I mean, he told me at
stoking the fire, like it's not
very early stage, that the doctors had given him 3-4 months to live, and that's when I he has a drink problem, and not really knowing what that meant, I thought, oh, I can cure, I can fix that. You know, I actually thought that I would be able to.
Do you think when you're trying to get into the early house in the morning,
making go off the drink,
is there any self-awareness there?
Oh, there is, but the only way out is to get drunk. Once you're cured, you're there, you're okay. Like that. I know that Mickey anyway, and Cork. And all.
For quite a long time, I think.
I
was thinking, he stopped because of me, or he stopped if we're married, if he stopped if he has his own baby, or...
In Mickey's case now, he never had an epilepsy ring, but he suffered seizures from withdrawal, you know, when he was, and he might be carted off to hospital, and that was a chance for him to maybe to go to Sister Concilio's. Like, he needed something like that to get there, but he wouldn't just volunteer, like, out of the blue, walk out of the pub and pour his glass of whiskey down the drain and say, I'm going, giving up, and I'm going up to...
you don't do that.
Need the kicks that
you just have to want to yourself, don't you? And
that's really it. That's,
it's a frightening place, isn't it?
Took me quite a long time before I realised that.
You knew that whenever he started getting those seizures, it wouldn't be long before he quit for a while.
Yeah, anyway, he might. Quit.
Go once or twice to the hospital and come back on out again.
The only thing that did frighten him like it was
but
that.
He would end up in
hospital. You have to fix yourself before you can reach out to and do something outside yourself. So the drink was there and it started being fun again. So he always put it off, the long finger, is that what you say? I do it later, I sort this later, but the later never came because there was... The drink was there and was number one.
Nina, did you ever think there was a possibility that he would give it up entirely?
Oh, yeah. I thought that... Oh, I kept thinking that he would. From when I first met him, I thought, yeah. People were always sort of advising me to leave him. And I know that I probably should have, but... I wasn't able for it. The birth of my daughter Sadie kind of woke me up. And
welcome to another programme of daily happenings in this country of ours.
Yeah.
This week we have John Finn. You're welcome to the programme.
Hello there, Michael.
What do you think holds for the traditional Irish music at this stage of the time?
Holds for it.
In other words,
part of Ireland.
There seems to be a lot of young musicians cropping up. It looks like Dickler Fitz. I haven't heard them. What type of music do they...
It's sort of a jazzed up sort of tradition.
Wouldn't you think this would be rather popular with the modern listeners of music in general? There would be little pieces of the old rock and roll music and fiddle playing.
Oh, yes.
Hint, hint.
whatever.
Did you join in with any of their sessions?
Well, I play a bit of Bowron.
I heard a little joke. I heard you weren't let.
What?
A egg Malmo fool. You want to perform another little show?
When Mickey left Callan, the only other time our paths crossed was by coincidence.
They were either sheltering from the rain or else they were busking. I think they were sheltering from the rain.
Outside Kilburn and, Tube Station in the late 1960s.
I wanted to get a bus up to Cricklewood. And between the tube station and the bus stop, something made me stop and go back. I actually recognised his nose. Don't ask me why I did, but... and met him and brought him back, fed him and watered him. And he said he had, I think, an offer of a job or someone was going to give him a start somewhere. And that was it. Never saw him.
Early 70s.
That would have been early 70s, yeah. From 70, I thought 69 or 70, but in around that, yeah.
Well, no, he wasn't
long ago. Yeah, he was, yeah. That's it. And then last year...
Mickey's brother Billy contacted me last year, and it was somehow like a visitation by his ghost.
And I was shocked at that stage to realise that he had died. And I never knew, you see, that he had gone on to be the famous or infamous person that he turned out to be. Yeah.
Mickey's friends.
I said the day of your wedding. That was
a room above the Crane Bar in Galway.
That was the only time he ever had money. So when he was off the drink, so at, he used to actually take the notes out and iron them, with, and then he fold them carefully and then put them in the little tobacco box and. Every night he used to open this box and count the notes in it. And
I remember going back, running out of money at some stage, and I knew he was off the drink, I knew he'd have money. I remember going back to him, there in Henry Street, and exactly as you say, he had a drawer and he'd open it up and take it out, and he made it hard for me. And he'd show it all in front of me.
But it became like I came to a stage when like there were hardly enough musicians to fill the gigs then, so I suppose the pub saw that there was that kind of interest there, so we were all flying it. The days weren't long enough for us with the gigs. At the time,
probably millions of stories. I suppose we should have them talking as well. They could tell. They have it all.
They were probably so.
Probably owes them a few.
Did Mickey live here in this house?
Mm-hmm. He did.
This was the house he...
We've moved here. When was Sadie born? She was born in 83.
Mm.
And that's it.
He loved it up here, I think, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Did he go on a train with her one time at some stage?
Up to Roscommon?
Yeah, he used to go up and down to Roscommon. Well,
he did.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Oh, did he? Maybe on the bus or something. Yeah, he might have.
He did.
When she was that size with Ashley, your daughter, in Roscommon. Yeah. And Mickey, and I don't know where you were in it, so maybe he went. He must have gone up somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
It was August 1996. Yeah, I remember we took pictures. That's right, around August. He came up for about 2 nights or a night or two. Mm-hmm. That's right.
He'd be out the door straight away. And towards the end, he probably wouldn't come home until about 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. And he might only stay 2-3 hours in the house for a bit of a sleep. Somebody would have brought him home. Left him there, and he'd come in and wake up the house and yeah, he was the first to arrive in the pub and the last to leave.
What about when he'd go to Ballinasloe and go to Sister Concilio's?
Yeah. They were good times in our relationship. You know, that was... It was hopeful. Every time it was hopeful. And he was hopeful. I think I remember going to what do you call this, Al-Anon meetings. I went to a few of those meetings, Al-Anon, like for support for family and friends of alcoholics, and I suppose I was only in my early 30s then, and I looked around in the room. It was mostly women. And most of them were a bit older than me. And they looked so sad and down that I kind of thought to myself, Jesus, this is what happens when you live with an alcoholic. And the way I think the only thing I sort of can remember from those meetings is that there was nothing you could do, really. You had to accept it, and it was a disease, and it had nothing to do with you and all that. But you had to detach yourself. That was a word they used, and I didn't know how can you detach yourself from a person and still feel close to them. It didn't make sense to me, and I couldn't forget the faces of these women. So tired and bitter looking they were. And that made a big impression on me. And I just felt, Jesus, no way I'm going to become like that. So that made me kind of start thinking.
The last time I saw you was outside the tube station in Kilburn.
And now another coincidence. The lad who was with Mickey outside the Kilburn tube station walks into the room above the Crane Bar in Galway.
Late 60s, early 70s.
How long did you wait outside the tube station?
remind me again about it. My recollection is that I walked out of the tube station, I was walking up the road for the bus, turned back, I remember seeing Mickey, and something, and I hadn't seen him since he was 11. What age would he have been at that? He has to have been around maybe, would have been 20?
20s, yeah.
At that stage. And I still recognised him, the boy that was there, I saw it in his face, and came back. And what you came up with me, and I think you came up to my where we had a bed set, isn't that right? You did. The two of you came up, you had something to eat up in my place.
That would have been about the only bit we had to eat for the few days we were in England, I'd say.
And then I lost you. So what happened after?
We lost a good few people.
You were heading off to you had an appointment somewhere, anywhere.
We had our ass appointment in the pub.
There was something.
No, there was a third guy, another guy from Shrews that came with us. We went in one door of the pub and out the other, and your man was left inside. I had a guitar, Mickey had the fiddle. I couldn't play the guitar for love or money. I just brought the guitar to have something in my hand. But as soon as Mickey was gone, when he came back, I had a few bob, but I was minus the guitar and the fiddle. I had sold both of them. But Mickey didn't give it in because we had the price. Actually, we got a gig in the pub to play in the pub. But the equipment was gone when he came back because I couldn't play anyway. Like whether Mickey could have carried it with me just hidden things I don't know. But that's... And we met an Englishman shortly after that. And he struck up a conversation with us and wanted to know where we... We told him our story, that we had no money, and basically... And he was going deeper and deeper into his pocket all the time, and Jesus says, this guy's gone, we're really... But he eventually gave us the price of 2 cups of tea. The further down he was going, I think, jeez, it was the biggest letdown I ever got. But we went from that to Wales. We figured we'd hitch on the snake on the boat back. But unfortunately, the boys in blue thought otherwise, so they manhandled us into the back of the paddy wagon and brought us to the station. Which is, I'd say, if we were a week gone. Life was an adventure to Mickey anyway. Up until the day he died, it was still just one big adventure. And like, I got sucked in kind of to mainstream when you get married and have a flash to kids and so on and so forth. It's not that your ideals change or anything like that, but reality sinks in. And no, he was a once-off Mickey.
I remember, I think Mickey had in the hospital. He had fought for a while, but at this stage he was gone. It was nearly all over. And myself and you, Billy, were one each side of Mickey on the bed, and there wasn't a meg out of Mickey for. But we were there beside the bed. You were kind of, go on, Mickey, come on, Mickey, this kind of thing. And suddenly his right hand came up on your side of the bed, and you held it like, you know.
I remember that.
And then he put down his right hand, and I was on the other side of the bed, and his left hand came up, and I held it, and he put down that. And that's all, but that. You know, I don't know what that was. Was that heaven? Was that something else? What? Because there was no, he never, that was all, there was nothing else. But,
oh, yeah.
But something, he was telling us he was okay, like, somehow, or that's, he's fine, that, good luck, and it's okay. So, that's the one thing.
I never saw Mickey after that. He went his own road.
This is a reel called The Boys Are Locked, or The Boys of the Lock, sorry.
You know, because that's the most important thing, had he money. Mickey was usually cute enough, he'd probably have a fiver or a tenner stashed. Even when his money ran out, the rest he'd have that for the morning. Not always, but he'd usually have, so that was his entrance fee down to the harbour bar. In and get the pint and the half one usually, I think. That's, if he had a brandy and port, maybe. After one or two, he'd have to be cured. So maybe 3 or 4 drinks. And then the smile, the eyes, he'd be happy. And then the fiddles would be taken out and other whoever was a bit of music and off on the merry-go-round again. Like.
And when you were talking to there, the cure, that's a physical need, isn't it?
That is. It takes over, I suppose. It becomes more important than anything else. The cure, it's a physical thing. You actually would shake, and you would have kind of, not hallucinating, but kind of nightmares and stuff. He just didn't care, you know. That's as far as my memory of it at the time now. Mickey had kind of, I felt he'd given it up. You know, just said, this is it. Like, he just drank. But there was no cracking it anymore. He wasn't the great man. This time he was just drinking.
And I'd always send Mammy in first to see what was he like, you know. Me, I'd hate if he was too bad, you know. We had to bring him to, we brought him to, what do you call the nun?
Sister Cincilia.
Cincilia, yeah. Was that the first time, I think, yeah. Then we brought him to John of Gardens. Then we brought him to... To Ballinasloe, place like that. And And then he came down one time to us at Christmas, and he went off for the Christmas. No, he didn't, but he was, take it easy. And we were in the bank house in Roscommon, Christmas, I remember, and it was great to have him home. And he was, and I gave him a bottle of stout or something. And of course, a bottle of stout was no good to him, but I'm sure I didn't realise this at all. He was sitting at the fire and he went, suddenly he began to shake a bit. So I went downstairs and he went to the kitchen or something. And next I heard a bang, and he had to come down the stairs and he fell, and he hopped his head off the floor of the, you know, down the stairs. And he blew out like that, his eye and everything. So I brought him to hospital. And Christmas Day. But another time too, I remember, I'll never forget this, passing through Galway, I was fishing in Loch Corrigan, was it? Yeah. Out there in the bank, and I kept coming back anyway, and a bad head on me, and just coming around from where he was, I saw him staggering, just barely walking, into a shop, and I'm going to stop, and I didn't, and I cried all the way home, but, you know, just half when I was home, I just, you know, I should have gone back and taken him and all that, but he was in a very bad way. He could hardly walk, like an old man. See.
The doctors always told us that. Like,
suddenly, you know.
Another few months, were you 6 of drinking, or you 6 feet under?
The year before he died, remember, he came up to us in Roscommon, and he was offered for about 6 or 7 months, I think.
Suppose you don't really...
He came out of Ballinasloe, I think. He landed in Ballinasloe.
Believe it.
And he was clear and...
I think...
He was lovely. We went out to the Abbey Hotel for a meal and that. And Sadie with him as well. And we photographed him, and he was really calm. And
until the last lovely time he went into hospital before he died, he was in.
I know he was in good shape, but he had been warned, very severe warning from Ballinasloe, that he was, you know, on his last.
But I think you
warning.
Could, in that time, you could. You okay, he didn't drink for a good few months there, but he was, something had changed in his brain. You knew
something was.
He was not the same. He kept repeating himself, and an awful lot.
I think he was damaged.
He was damaged.
Yeah, I
think so. Yeah.
He was silly. He was childish the way he kind of talked near the end, like, you know. I thought that, you know, silly sort
just
of stuff.
Just repeated.
You kind of knew he would probably die then.
Everything, endlessly.
But that was way too late anyway. I mean,
because I had seen he had started deteriorating in the autumn before that. He had been up in Ballinasloe, and.
But hardly walk.
When he came out.
It was only a few months before he died.
He was off the drink for a few months, but his...
like an old man. See.
Brain...
He took a glass of Guinness, he was going to start.
Damage. You noticed that.
He
wasn't quite there anymore.
Another week and he was gone again.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you know.
At this stage, we had split up. I had asked him to leave because I couldn't have a young child and live with him anymore. But and then so he stayed with a friend, Dave Barry, out in Salt Hill. He stayed out there a lot, and he looked after himself. He tried, and he but it was, I think it was too late.
All the boys were around, and Nina was there, and so eventually the monk came and gave him the last one. Right, Mammy was there, and Jackie, and he said, looked at her, and she was, oh, you know, come down to me, he said. And he closed your eyes, and he kissed her eyelids. That's all he did. He did that to her. And she wasn't a bit like that. She was like, she wasn't like himself. She wasn't a sentimental bone in her body. Like, she was a lovely person. And she was very moved at that. Yeah. So there was a bit of a poet in him all the time. Sensitive person.
This is the time, actually, I think I got the closest I ever got to Mickey, was these last few weeks. It was... I got to kind of know him, the real Mickey, the inside this surface of drink and being a hard man and witty man and all this witty, he was so funny, and as everybody will tell you, and but behind that surface and I remember how it's probably the day, one or 2 days before he died, he wasn't allowed to drink anymore. I don't know why, but so he was as dry as sandpaper in his mouth and lips cracked up, and you could see he was just all he wanted was just a little sip of water, and wasn't allowed to give it to him. And I brought in the sponge, and I just wet the sponge and dabbed his lip with the sponge, and how grateful he was for that. So his eyes told me that, you know, and it was really lovely to, although we didn't speak much, because he wasn't quite able, but there was some kind of communication there between us, the last couple of weeks. It's an understanding without talking about it. It was just there, and it was quite beautiful, and I'm very glad we had that. Somehow those last couple of days there made up for a lot of the bad times we had had earlier, you know. And then the day he died, I spent a lot of time up in the hospital. I was there most of the time, but... I was really into Coronation Street in those days, and it was coming up to. I had been up there all day, and I thought, okay, Coronation Street starts now. I need a break. I have to have a break. So I just ran home and put on the program and watched it, and just watched it without watching it. Didn't have a clue what was happening in the program, because I was just so restless, and I couldn't wait till it was over, because then I could run up to the hospital again. But I wouldn't let myself go, because I can't force myself to have that break. And anyway, the program was over. Back up to the hospital, and that's when he died. Maybe after a few minutes after my arrival. In the hospital then, the beard was, they had shaved that off. He was just Mickey, you know.
We should just finish up. Mm-hmm. But is there anything you'd like to say yourself that we wouldn't have asked you?
Not that comes to my mind now.
If you had one picture of him, what would it be?
One picture. Well, I, just as you asked that now, I just the picture that came to my head was that often as we walked home at night after playing, he would stop at the bridge and just, he wanted to stop and look into the river for a while and wish that he was a fish in the river. That's where he wanted to be, free in the river.
Just sit back, relax, and laugh at the water as it spins slowly by. Who needs to worry? Let the other people worry. Let the know-alls worry for a change.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.